is nowhere.
All right, man. Welcome to Crow 777 Radio. This is hour one of episode 612. Jason Lindgren is with me and Matt Roski returns. We're going to probably open up talking about light. It's a big deal. As you know, we're surrounded by lights, but we're going to zero in on a few things about so many of the modern technologies that are being implemented around us. After all, in some places, I don't even think you can buy incandescent lights, or the old style lights, I should say. Anyhow, welcome, Jason.
And a pretty fine winter afternoon it is.
Welcome, Matt.
Hello, hello.
So before we jump in, let's just cover real quick. We have a sponsored link to Matt's products and people rave about them. And actually, I've used them. The pearl powder is just top notch. And some of the ones that people really benefit from are the Shilajit, which is cold pressed. The pearl powder, I guess it's thought of as a magnesium alternative, but it has to do with hair, nails, eyes, eye floaters, vision, the dragon's blood. Jason, are you using any of these?
Oh, God, yeah, for quite a long time now. I take the Shilajit every day. I take the pearl powder every day. I love both of those. The pearl powder is incredible as far as getting your hair to grow and fingernails growing way faster than they have in a long, long time. So, yeah, that stuff definitely works. The Shilajit's great. Lots and lots of good stuff in there. I don't really like taking commercial multivitamins very much, so that's a great way to get some good stuff into you. So, yep.
And you can use the code CRROW10 for 10% off of Matt's products.
The pearl powder is amazing, and we've got people raving, even saying their vision has improved. But anyhow, on the sponsorship page, if you use that link, you get 10% discount. Matt, do you want to mention anything about this before we jump in?
You know, if people want to look more, we have tons of reviews on our website, cultivateelevate.com, so that you can find out more about each product. And then some of the other beautiful success stories that we've been having, like Jason was saying, with your hair, skin, and nails with pearl, your eyes, also feeding your eyes, and then Shilajit, you know, you're going in and detoxing, and dragon's blood detoxing, which is just key with all the nonsense that we face.
By the way, if you're taking Masterpiece, taking the Shilajit also helps with the detox process.
Yep, that's a great combination.
These things are critical. It's why we cover Clive's products, because let's face it, this world is toxic in so many ways. You can't just go out and do the things you used to do, like shop indiscriminately, ingest indiscriminately. There are so many toxins. And if you don't have, it's my point of view now that if you have not located and integrated good supplements, and I'm talking quality, I'm not talking about wandering into CVS, which is why we do this, why we have certain people that we found that are making quality things that actually benefit, because it's a far cry from grabbing, you know, the pearl powder or Clive's magnesium, then walking into a CVS and thinking you're getting anything that's even near the same level, because you're not. And the dosing is never right in those places. And by the way, if you get the dosing right, you'd be eating like half a pound of the little gel shell they put on everything. But anyhow, enough of that. Let's get into this. Matt, I want to open up with the LED tail. And by the way, Jason, I noticed you found, did you find the root guy who got the blue LED to work?
Yeah, two people are credited with it. Japanese inventors.
Looks like in 1972.
Yeah, it's a big deal. There's a documentary out there somewhere, and I wish I would have known this in advance. But the documentary shows how they just couldn't figure out, supposedly, how to make a blue LED. And eventually they did. And I forget the whole story, but it turns out to be one guy and he's not being funded, or I forget what it is. But when he finally cracks it, it's a big deal because nobody could do it. But Matt, let's jump in. The amount of LED and blue light we're exposed to is just not healthy. And I'll give it to you for a minute, but I can illustrate using the sun where the issue exists.
So this is interesting. You know, the whole LED thing is really just a weapon. It's a weapon, this light frequency that they're using. And this technology, as Jason was saying, goes back to about the 1920s. That's when the first LEDs were being discovered. So when they tell you this is a new technology that's going to allegedly save us from climate change, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. This technology has been around here for a very long period of time. Now, the problem with these lights specifically is that they look exactly like the street light out when you go driving. If you open up a street light and you open up an LED, you see the exact same thing. You see a chip, which is emitting this digital light. And this digital light is messing with our bodies because it's not the same natural light that we once had with the sun or an incandescent or a plasma bulb or all these other bulbs that we used to have back in the day. And so as they started pushing this, what they're trying to tell us is that these lights are going to save us energy and they're going to last longer. But the part that they don't say is that the oldest, longest standing light bulb in the realm right now that's been burning for 120 years is an incandescent that's been burning since 1902. It's in a California lighthouse, firehouse, and it's been burning ever since. And it's interesting because when I started going down the rabbit hole of lights, I started researching into the Phobius cartel. This is the General Electric cartel. They got together with two other companies to make light bulbs break faster so that people would buy light bulbs. Because if the light bulbs were lasting 100 or more years per light bulb, you never have to buy a light bulb. So they started tweaking things down and they started breaking things down. And as they did that, they started tweaking the color spectrums. And this is where the rollout of the fluorescence came in. There was an alleged, as always, energy crisis in the 1960s and 70s, and they had to come out with a new light bulb. And the fluorescent was the first one that they experimented with, which emits radio frequencies. Then the second one that came out is our current LED, which also emits radio frequencies. The old school incandescents and the Edison bulbs, they don't emit any radio frequencies. So what's happening is as people are bringing these lights into their home, they can sync up, number one, to Li-Fi, which is completely crazy, sending messages in the internet through the lights. And then they also have this toxic blue light spectrum, which is completely altered and not the same color as our eyes. And then they have these radio frequencies, which when you think of radio frequencies, you think of cell phones, you think of Wi-Fi, you think of all these things that they keep trying to sell to people, and then these lights would be pinging. And then you have to start thinking of your lights begin to sync to your stove, to your appliances, to your toaster, to your car, to your garage. And then it gets really weird because now you're moving into this transhumanism robotic lifestyle. And that's the other part with these lights is that the color spectrums that are coming off of them mess with the eyes. They are linked to cataracts. This was shown by the AMA. They showed all of these studies. And this is why people are suffering from a lot of eye issues, because these lights are changing the eye. And then plus the color spectrum is not natural. And when we have that, then we start to get irritable. We start to get angry. You know, it starts to mess with our ability to think. And it's just the more I would go down this, the more I realize, wow, you know, we used to have these beautiful plasma bulbs, these UV bulbs, these incandescents and bulbs that lasted for a long period of time. And now we're being sold a bait and switch. And I even went and took a bunch of the boxes and went and compared all of them of how much energy you're going to save and whatever. And the old school incandescents were saying that you were going to save the same as much as the LEDs, you know. So we get this bait and switch. And this is where you look at like these LED masks that are being pushed like crazy all over social media. You got people jumping on trampolines and wearing LED masks and biohacking and all these things. And when you look up light as a weapon or LED incapacitators, they're weapons used by the military to knock people out, cause nausea, and make them sick. So if you're placing this up against your face, you know, you're going to result in the same thing. And this is why, perfect example, when people are going into grocery stores or going into the hardware store or going into wherever, and they're like, I got a headache, I feel nauseous, I feel sick. You know, these lights were implemented into the stores in 2019, just before the whole nonsense pandemic. And the other interesting thing is that these lights can gather data. And that's the craziest thing. They can have little microscopic cameras in them. So, you know, if you're putting this stuff up against your face, you're bringing it into your home, it's just going to mess with your health. In my place, I don't got any LEDs. I do incandescent halogens. And if I need it, the sun or windows or candles. But other than that, this whole push is just to trick people. And the last part of it is with the LEDs, you know, they say that we're saving energy because we switch to LEDs. But the AI data centers that they're rolling out left and right use 1,000 times more energy than the little bulbs that you used to have. So, you know, we have to look at this like, okay, so for technocrats, it's okay for them to use energy. But for me, it's not okay. And that's where I don't agree. But the whole LED push is just, it's a money ploy, and it creates more unhealthy situations. And then Rockefellers, Rothschilds, and that whole medical system makes more money.
It is. It's a bait and switch. And once again, people have forgotten that truth resides in nature. And some ridiculous LED mask is not only not going to replace sunlight, it's going to have an adverse effect. But check this out. I just went on, Jason found the guy. I had seen this back in the day. In 2014, there was a Nobel Prize awarded, and I'm on the Nobel Prize site. Listen to this. Blue LEDs filling the world with, wait for it, new light. So they give the name of three Japanese guys. They are rewarded for inventing a new energy efficient, environmentally friendly light source. The blue light emitting diode or LED, in the spirit of Alfred Nobel, the prize awards an invention of the greatest benefit to mankind. By using blue LEDs, white light can be created in a new way. With the advent of LED lamps, we now have more long-lasting and more efficient alternatives. But if you read down through this, you can begin to see what's going on. They act like, well, we've had, you know, LEDs since the 20s, but it just wasn't that useful to us until we got the blue. It says, red and green light-emitting diodes have been with us for almost half a century, but the blue was really needed to revolutionize lighting tech. Only the triad of red, green, and blue, and remember, this is not the primary that we use in physical color, right? It wouldn't be, there would be yellow instead of green. We can produce white light that illuminates the world for us. Despite the high stakes and great efforts undertaken in the research community, it goes on to say all these other things. But in the next part of this, if anyone wants to go read it at the Nobel site, it really begins to shine a light on what's going on. And has anyone caught the drone videos where all the LED lights and parking lights are flashing, which completely backs what Matt's saying about frequencies kicking in? But there's also studies that you can look up online where they've put time-lapse cameras in classrooms and they show all these children that supposedly have ADHD. They swap out the lighting source and magically the ADHD is gone. But I'll do the sun in a minute, Matt, but I don't think there's any screen tech that we're using these days that isn't heavily skewed towards the blue LED.
So with that, what you just commented on, so we'll hit on a couple. The one that you cited with the lights, that was Health and Light with Dr. John Ott. That was his study that he did, and that was with fluorescent bulbs. Right. And what he noticed was when he put lead in front of the fluorescent bulbs, the children could focus again. So, you know, the whole lead banning and that whole situation, we got to get rid of that one. But that's the one with that. And then there's a great book, Light as Medicine by Jacob Liberman, for people to look into. This just goes into all the things with color spectrum. Edwin Babbitt is another one as well, too, for people to look into color therapy and healing.
Dinshaw,
yes, he was a great one, too. And his books were burned. Most people don't know his books were burned. A lot of his research was all burned by the government.
And his devices destroyed, by the way.
Yes, they destroyed all of them. I saw one. I've seen one in the last year. But all of his devices were destroyed and his books were burned, which you think like the government's out burning color therapy books, which is crazy. But I actually found one of his books and it said in the book, which I understand why, it said no pills, no medications, no surgeries, no radiation. And that was like every three pages. So I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And then the other one that you were saying with the whole changing of the lights, if people want to look into getting a screen, if you want to change your screen, you can get a LCD, liquid crystal display monitor. And this is still an option. There's actually a lot of companies that still make these. This is the work of Marcel Vogel and the crystals. He used quartz crystals to make screens because he said that that's the most natural thing we should look at. Quartz is like the water in our body, and we should be staring or looking at quartz. And windows, if you want to laugh, used to be made from quartz. Now they're made from different polymers, which block out the UV spectrum. And this is also why, like you were just saying, why people are having the health issues. Because they have windshields, they have eyeglasses, they have contacts, you know, they're indoors, they're blocking this UV spectrum and getting this altered spectrum the entire time. And then everything begins to fall apart. And this is why when a person is exposed to, for example, fire, and this is what I've even noticed with myself, when a person is exposed to fire, you get all the reds, orange, yellows, and those hues and all those colors to invigorate the body, and then it charges you up. Versus when we have all this synthetic color and then synthetic light and then these artificial spectrums, then the body begins to fall apart. And you get into the whole thing like you were mentioning with the changing of the lights as well and the changing of the screens. Well, same with the streetlights. Just before the whole pandemic was starting, they were starting to change out the streetlights to LEDs. And if you think about LEDs, when they're all out there, well, now everything's going to get a lot colder. So now they can try to tell you, oh, the climate is changing again, because they changed all the light bulbs across the whole entire country at one time, which would then change the heat of the country all at one time. And that's another thing. People have to then start using more heat. And they just said last week, natural gas prices are up, you know, highest ever. Yes, because as people are changing out bulbs, which once gave heat into the house, now they got to use more heat. But it's the light bulb thing is just nuts, because the more you go into this and the more you see, like you said, the altered spectrums. And I actually collected a old school UV lamp. This old school was called the Sunnet UV lamp, and it was from the 1950s, and it uses a plasma bulb. You see like a torus field inside of it when it spins and when it turns on. And I remember when I used that, I sat there and thought, this is mind-blowing, because all colors that I saw after this look completely different. And then I started to think, well, lights are almost acting like portals. You know, when we're getting these color spectrums into our eyes, they're acting like portals. And it made me feel, in a weird way, that I was actually like almost kind of transporting myself back to the 1900s when these bulbs used to be all over the place. So, you know, lights are very powerful. And like you said, with Dinshaw's work and all the other people's work, they've been insulted and burned and all these other things. You know, there's a reason, because these people who are trying to do the nonsense to us understand light frequency. And even with the dimmings of the sky, you're changing the color spectrums of the sky, and then that changes the color spectrum of the realm.
It's a huge deal. But consider this. Do you remember the nickname for IBM? Remember, they call it Big Blue.
Yep.
For those who aren't old enough, IBM was a big deal back in the day. And actually, it became that PC was basically thought of as IBM back then. And then Mac was around, but it was much smaller. IBM was on top. Anyhow, their nickname was Big Blue. But consider how many other big tech steps have taken on the blue moniker. As a matter of fact, go do a search for how many tech companies' logos are blue. You'll be blown away. It's like damn near all of them. But Jason, do you remember when they brought the first AI on Jeopardy? Do you remember the name of that computer system? Was it Deep Blue?
That sounds familiar.
There's a few of them. And all of the recent ones where they've trotted out AI to play the Go champions and all these, if you look up the nicknames, quite a number of them are blue. But if we go to nature, where all truth resides, and we look at the sun, when the sun comes up, there's a certain amount of blue light. And as I've said so many times, the sunlight in the morning is not the sunlight at noon, is not the sunlight in the evening. But once you pass solar noon, the amount of blue light that we're exposed to decreases and decreases until you get down to sunset. What do you see? You don't see blues, right? You see reds and oranges and things like that. And that's what your body requires to have a normal, I mean, what would we call it, Matt? The circadian rhythm, so that your rhythm can be tied to nature. And that's really one of the big things that all this blue light is messing with, is people's ability to sync with natural cycles.
Deep Blue defeated the chess champion in 1997, and then Watson was the one for Jeopardy.
It was Watson. I got that backwards.
That's interesting. And I was just thinking about all the blue logos, because now it's actually gone through my head. And even the blue roofs that people were putting on top of their house because of all the stuff with the lasers and whatever that was happening. But yeah, you get into this whole thing of this altered color spectrum, and it's just truly mind-blowing. And like you said with IBM, I mean, they were one of the first people to use LEDs in their computers. So if you think about it, you know, when they're trying to push this whole like Neuralink transhumanism weird stuff or whatever else, they're going to give you a robotic light, you know, and that's kind of what I saw. When I opened up one of the bulbs and looked at it, I was like, this is crazy that this is a microchip emitting light. And the other crazy part with these LEDs is all the lawsuits. If you have a broken LED in your home, you have to jump through like 10 hoops in order to just try to sue General Electric. You have to first vacate the house. You have to make sure that your air conditioner's not on. You have to have a certain hazmat suit. You're not allowed to be in there for a certain amount of time. And then after all of these steps are passed and you decide to go through with your lawsuit, they will determine if they feel that you have been damaged by their light bulbs. And so when you think about people just like chucking their bulbs in the garbage and whatever else, because they're like, oh, this thing fell apart and whatever. It's like, imagine all the heavy metals and chemicals that are coming off these things that are messing with people's health. And since they make those lawsuits really challenging for a person to have or to take action on, then it also has to make you wonder, well, what are they trying to hide or what are they trying to protect? You know?
You know, it's interesting, Matt. Can you even think of a tech company that has a logo that isn't blue? I did a quick lookup. I mean, even the car companies, but what's odd about it, when you look it up, it's very similar shade of blue. It's reminiscent of the blue that typically gets paired with the Star of David, actually, like Facebook, what Twitter was, Alexa, Cisco, PayPal, or PayPal, as I like to call it. And what was the other, before we used Zoom, what was the name of the one we were using, Jason? Skype.
Skype, yep.
Skype has that same color. General Electric, Hewlett Packard. I mean, on and on it goes. But if you look them up, it's like they all chose that blue from the same palette. Even the Oreo logo, which incorporates a darker blue, has that same blue lining around its main logo. There's clearly something to that particular class of blue, I would say.
There's a lot behind corporate logos. Some of the earliest truth work, going back to the 90s, people were doing one heck of a job breaking down just what's up with these logos.
Interesting. And I mean, if I can add to that too, that's why I use black and white mode on my screen. Because if I use any type of devices, I always use black and white mode, because I started thinking, you know, there's this whole big push to ban artificial colors. I think it's like Red 40 and whatever. It should have been banned a long time ago. But there's this whole big push to ban these artificial colors and whatever. And I sat there and thought, okay, well, now people aren't getting artificial colors in their food anymore. Now they're getting artificial colors in their screens. And they're getting that same dopamine hit like you just explained. And I'll tell you, when you use your screens or your devices on black and white mode, it completely changes the whole way of using it, because you're not getting lit up with these colors. And that's the other thing, like you said, they're obviously using selected colors. I'm sure there's even a formula to the color that they're picking for that specific blue, because of probably something that it gravitates our eyes towards, or there's a symbolism behind it.
There's a frequency.
Frequency, yes. Yes, there's definitely a frequency to that. But the simplest way that I've learned to deal with a lot of this nonsense is just definitely the grayscale or black and white mode or flux, you know, so that you can change color spectrums with these things. Because like I said, when you don't see the color and then you turn it on, or if you did, then you're like, oh my gosh, you know, because it's trying to draw you in. And then you combine it with sound and all these songs that are put on social media and whatever else, and you're just hypnotized, you know? I mean, that's what they want. They want people hypnotized and like you said, like stuck into it. And then that blue light also disrupts melatonin so that people can't sleep. You know, you get into the whole blue light, the melatonin, the third eye, you know, the pineal gland, how much that's impacting the ability for you to see through the nonsense. That blue color spectrum is impacting that and deadening that area. Then you combine it with Wi-Fi and cell phone signals, and the frontal cortex, which is all thought process, completely shuts off. So I've started to realize, like, when you start to look at it and you break it down into pieces, you see that these things working in conjunction is pretty much trying to sink people into this just like a robotic zombie state. And that's the thing, is you see it a lot of times, like I was saying, when you go to the stores, people look so tired. They look exhausted. And it's like, because they're under this horrible color spectrum the entire time, and it's just messing with their mind. And then their mind is almost like wiped, kind of like Men in Black. He was walking around with that little stick and he's like, whoop. Now they used red, but even still, you know, they had that little stick.
It's not just the color, though, that's being thrown at you. It's also the refresh rate of these screens that are so fast, and they're always pushing to make them faster. That's drawing the person who's looking at that screen in even more and putting them into an alpha state.
Yep.
Exactly. Exactly. See, when we came off radio and they were queuing in for TV, they knew the power of it. When the first films come, because what you just said, Matt, is it. You've got a frequency, you've got a flicker rate, you've got colors, you've got images, and you can literally hypnotize people. How many times have you heard about the programs or the animation that accidentally put people into seizures with the way they put their flicker rate into an animation? As a matter of fact, not too long ago, I actually saw warnings on TV shows that if you're susceptible to this, you better not watch. And that's kind of shocking that they would allow that to happen. But the Hertz rate that Jason just mentioned is a big deal. Most people don't realize. Now, I hope I get this right because I haven't looked at it for a while, but I think like if you have a Hertz rate of 200, like you can look on the back of your TV, it'll tell you the Hertz. I think if it's 200, if I remember this correctly, it's flashing in your face 200 times a second. Do either of you guys know if I got that right? I'm pretty sure I got it right.
A refresh rate is literally that the computer driving the screen is redrawing that screen that many times a second. So TVs generally 60 hertz, 60 times a second. The newer ones that are a little faster, 120 hertz, but now they're coming out with even faster and faster. And then they're increasing the resolutions of the screens. Like the one I'm sitting in front of on my iMac Pro is a 5K screen. Now they've got 8K TVs. I mean, it's just they're pushing further and further.
So I have held on to an old rear projection television that I got years and years and years ago. When you look at the image on that screen, it's not like the big fat one. It's when rear projection got like semi-thin. It's not a thin screen, but it's not the one that's like 3 feet deep. Anyhow, when you look at the image on that old rear projection TV, there's really no stress. But when you go look at the new TV, which I can almost not stand out in our living room, just the way the images look, if you pay attention, it just creates, the only way I can describe it is creating stress. The sharpness, the flicker rate, just everything. It's like it's too sharp or something. I really don't know how to explain it. But as Jason and I have covered in the past, if you haven't tried it, you should go get the freeware called F-Lux. I think it's available as F.LUX. You install this and you set it so that it matches the sunlight in your area. And the first night that I put this on my computer, because I'm often editing episode images long after it's dark, but the first night I put F-Lux on my box, I noticed I went to sleep so much better that night because it immediately, as the sun goes down, it's phasing the blue light out of your screen. Have you ever heard of F-Lux, Matt?
That's the one that I use. I just call it Flux. I thought it was Flux this whole time. So,
well, it may be. It's just got a dot after the F, so I'm not sure.
Lux for light.
I use that one and I like it a lot because you can make the reddish hue and then I put black and white mode and then that's pretty much how I use my screen. But it's interesting that Jason was talking also about the refresh rate. I used to play video games a long time ago and I mean 22 hours a day when I was 14, 15, 16 years old and we had LCDs and I could sit there with an LCD and look at it for hours. And it was funny because I had yellow glasses. I had like yellow glasses. I thought, I was like, I just want to have some yellow glasses. It would be cool. Everybody's got regular ones. I want yellow ones. Well, it was funny because yellow actually works against the color spectrums coming off the screen. So it enabled me to be better at playing games. And like you guys were just saying with the refresh rates, they started at 60 and 60 was pretty normal. Your eyes can handle that. Then it went up to 144. That was a more common one. Now, like you were saying, it's up to 200. And the thing is that will make you very, very nauseous because it's refreshing so fast that it will start to just make you like almost like seasick. And I've started to also think about, you know, eye color is a really big one too, because certain eyes, if we get into like the lighter eyes versus darker eyes, you know, can withstand light and then not withstand light as much. And a lot of this, you know, with people with lighter eyes usually can't withstand a lot of the intensity, you know, so it's even stuff with sunshine when you get into lighter eyes too as well, which makes you think of people underground. But, you know, the whole thing with these lights is a lot of times with that, it's making people sick because the light's so intense versus maybe let's say people with a darker eye, it might not impact them as much now, but like as Jason or you were saying as well too, as they crank it up and they make it 8K and 16K and all these things, that's also just representing how many bulbs are in that screen. You know, when you're going from, you know, a couple bulbs, like the old LCDs and things like that, or even the plasma ones, you got a couple bulbs. Now you've got thousands of bulbs and it just messes with the mind. And it was funny because I stopped playing video games about 10 years ago or so after I just was like, whatever, I don't want to do this anymore. But It was interesting because everything started going wireless. Everything started changing with the screens. Everything started going all different. And I started thinking, this isn't even about like the gaming experience anymore. You're just trying to give me all this like broken technology, because even wireless technology is slower than wired technology. So, you know, you start to sit there and think and look at all this and go, you're just taking what already worked and then breaking it down and then giving me cheaper stuff. And then now I'm going to have health issues. And that's where I kind of see with these lights, like you were saying with the old school TVs, you know, my grandpa had one, it will last forever. I think it lasted 60 years, you know, so this technology used to be really, really nice. And like it wasn't messing with you and the flicker rate wasn't screwing with your mind. But now as they advance it and add colors and all kinds of things, it's leading people into seizures. And I do get a lot of messages about people having seizures recently. I would say in the last 6 to 8 months, a lot of people having seizures and they haven't figured it out. And I was explaining, do you have LED lights in your house? Because this flicker rate is so tremendous and messing with the mind. And some people will say, oh, they have flicker-free bulbs. It's like, we just don't need to use this technology. You know, it's like, I would rather just not than make an adapter to an adapter to an adapter, because that's kind of what we're kind of going through.
You know, I wonder what the technology they came up with for things like Kindle products, because that garish light, I won't read like a full book or something like that on an iPad or a screen or something like that for very long because it annoys my eyes. But the Kindles and whatever the other ones are called, I can't remember, they came up with a technology that seems to be so much softer and gentler on your eyes. It almost does simulate the printed page. And I wonder if they did that because they tested and it was being rejected. So they had to come up with something because the industry of book publishing needed it to keep selling books.
I think you're onto something there, because the same thing was done with movies. People began to complain who were old enough to remember old cinema. And the reason is because old cinema was at 24 frames per second. So that per second flicker rate we were talking about back in a movie theater, it was only flickering 24 times a second in your face. And the studies that I have looked at claim the higher, like it's regular to see 60 FPS these days. And by the way, it's not analog film anymore. Of course, it's digital film. But when you get to super high frame rates or flicker rates via Hertz, it fools the mind into thinking that it's real. And I had actually this experience with my mother, who passed away from Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. As it really got bad with the Alzheimer's, we had to keep her away from the TV because she could no longer distinguish what was on the TV from reality. She would start screaming, someone's got to help those people. Someone's got to help those people. And I began to realize, you know, what was happening. She couldn't distinguish that it was on a television. And at some point, I could no longer tell her, Mom, you're just watching a show on TV. It would not register with her anymore. And that was on the newer TV my sister had brought over for her. But think back to when we were on 24 SPS. It's like everything else in the world. It's almost like the faster we go, the more we're detached from nature, because the cycles of nature are maybe calmer. I don't know. You think that's the right way to consider it, Matt?
I actually do, because once you spend a lot of time in nature, like I'm in nature all, I mean, if I'm not here speaking or doing something, I'm sitting out in nature in the sun or watching chipmunks or feeding chipmunks, you know, whatever it may be. But yes, it's a very different cycle and there is no speed. There is no quick. But like you said, if we're now sped up with everything where everything becomes faster, then yes, then as a society, we're going to somehow expect everything to be faster. And then that moves you into robots because you're like, well, I can't do it fast enough. The robot's got to do it, or the AI or the ChatGPT or whatever. And then, like you said, it's almost like time begins to get faster, which a friend was telling me about his atomic clock and all these interesting things that are happening with that. But, you know, on the color spectrum too, that you just said, like with the whole situation, when Dr. John Ott was studying the color pink, they were doing this test on prison inmates and they were making them go absolutely crazy with the color pink. So it's interesting that you said that that color was messing with your mom, but the color pink would make prison inmates go absolutely like bananas. Basically, what would happen is the first 15 minutes that they were placed into a pink room, they were very calm and docile. So they were like, oh, we could use this, you know, because inmates are kind of getting out of control. We'll put them in these pink rooms. After 15 minutes, they went completely ballistic and the guards could not even fight them. So if you get into color spectrums, like you were just saying, whatever is coming through that portal or that black box or that obsidian crystal, whatever you want to call it, you know, there are things going into the mind and changing the mind, changing the way it thinks. And if she can't distinguish reality from television, then that is a really big one. And there was a book called Four Reasons to Throw Away Your Television. It was written in the 1970s. And it was probably one of the best books I ever read, because they were basically saying that the only emotion that they could send through a television is fear. That is the only one. They did all these tests where they made people watch like nature documentaries and birds and all these things, like anything you can think of. And it just, people would just turn it off. And they just were like, I'll just go into nature. But when they put fear on it and they just kept popping that on, people stayed tuned. And so like even what you were just describing, if she was seeing something like, you got to help that person, well, she's been put into the fear state. And that's the frequency which is being broadcasted. Then if you amplify lights and sound, which work on those same wavelengths, well, then you just got people put into like a hypnosis of fear. And then you move them into scarcity, because that's the other one I think of. Moving people into scarcity, making them believe that everything's running out. So you got fear and scarcity. And we see that every day. And that's the thing, like if you just go onto mainstream media, they're always trying to put you into some nonsense, that's for sure.
You're spot on, but consider this too. And I learned this in spades when I worked making some of the first banner ads that the internet had ever seen. Because I had a background in animation, I once upon a time thought I was going to be an animator before I realized how the real world works. And I became a video guy. So I was called a video engineer to create these first postage stamp size videos to be stuffed down a phone line, which was never intended to take that kind of data. In other words, we had this new technology which didn't work, and we were tasked with figuring out how to make it work. The only way to make it work was to destroy the quality of the video to get it down a phone line to the people at the other end. But as an animator, you learn very early on, the reason animation works is because your brain fills in what might not be in every frame. So I can show one frame and then the next. And if there's anything in the motion that's missing, typically the brain fills in what should be there. Now, when you go up to a super high frame rate, that's all out the window. There's no filling in anything. And when I learned this in spades was, at the time, most video was 24 frames per second. So it got so bad that our high quality video was 10 frames per second on a video banner ad, because it had to come down a phone line. The low quality, or people who didn't have the best connections, were getting three or four frames a second. And guess what? The video still worked. Why? Because the brain fills in. All the frames, you know, we destroyed the color palette, we reduced the size, we destroyed the quality of the audio, and we used to say we destroyed it to an acceptable rate, which is not true. We simply just ruined what was once good video to force this new digital world to work. But even at three frames a second, we got away with it because your brain would fill in what was missing.
Wow. That's a remarkable study that you figured out. That's, I would say, because obviously we're always fed a bunch of nonsense, but that makes perfect sense. You know, I mean, and that's where I started to realize this, like this technology and even some of these newer devices, you know, they're trying to sink into your mind, you know, and I can attest to this. I've had multiple experiences with devices where I'll look at it and I feel like it's trying to get into my mind. Things like this and all of this technology, like this stuff is very, very advanced. It's not new. And like you said, you know, the mind is really trying to always balance everything. And then what happens is, like you were saying too, is then people become burned out as well. Because if your brain is trying to like take in all of this and absorb it, your head's going to start hurting because it doesn't function this way. And then, you know, they'll say, well, we've got the Neuralink, you know, that will be the next whatever. And that's why it's like, I feel like people need to connect with nature more and be in nature and really be with it. Because the more you do that and the more you're really connected, the more you see that you don't need a lot of the stuff that you're being sold and all these fancy gadgets. And even some of the, like we were talking about with the lights, they got fancy lights that you can play a song and the light can dance and whatever. It's like, you don't need any of that. You could sit in front of a fire and you will feel great and refreshed and relaxed. And it's like, that's the other thing is sometimes people are seeking something, like we'll say health-wise from these lights. in a reason that they're being marketed to, but it's actually not even giving them that. It's giving them the opposite. But that's interesting that you said that with the frames per second. I mean, I remember back when you had like AOL and Napster and everything, and you download videos and, you know, there was like barely like trucking along and things like that. But like you said, you could still see everything and you could still envision it in your mind, but it never captivated you to the way that these pieces of technology that they're trying to sell to the people do.
No, not at all. And another thing you can consider is blur, right? People know blur. Back in film at 24 frames a second, you can actually watch a movie and see something going quick enough that it's got some blur. Well, now consider it 200 hertz, where it's blinking. You know, the blur has to be artificially implemented almost to make it appear like it's there at all. But the crazy thing about what we did with video kind of proves what the digital age was. Almost every, I'll say every valuable kind of upgrade in tech or a new tool that I've ever known in my life was because it served a useful purpose. Look, we invented a shovel. Guess what? Digging holes just got easier. Let's get them out to the people right now. Get handles, get the shovel head on them, get them out to the people. And guess what? Nothing slowed down. Everything went better. Why? Because the shovel was useful. We could dig holes quicker, as an example. The onset of the digital age was the exact opposite. We were told it would be less paper, less work, less. It was more of everything. Not only was it more of everything, it was endlessly frustrated because we were forcing, like the video I was making, to be served up in a situation it was not created for. The telephone was created for voice, and now we're trying to jam videos down these lines. So in essence, what we did was take quality video and destroy it till it was almost laughable. As a matter of fact, if you would have seen the video out of context, just someone showed it to you, you would say that's unwatchable. But when it was put in the context of an online ad, people accepted it. But my point here is at no time in the beginning did it make things easier, other than if you wanted to make a spreadsheet, maybe that was easier. Or if you wanted to make corrections on something you typed, you didn't need, you know, whiteout or things like that. But almost every other aspect of what we were doing made everything infinitely more difficult. And yet we were tasked with and gladly went along with forcing the technology to find its place until we had changed all systems to the degree that would allow for the new technology to come. And most people forget that in the beginning, the computers, they were trying to sell them and they couldn't really figure out how to sell them because short of writing a letter or making a spreadsheet, there wasn't a lot of everyday uses, if you remember back that far.
Yep. No, and that's the thing. You'd put in the little floppy disk or whatever floppy drive, whatever it was, and that's it would maybe play a game, you know, and that was about it. It couldn't do much of anything. But, you know, it's interesting that you said about the technology, too, because, you know, most people don't realize there was a fellow named Nathan B. Stubblefield, and he actually created a telephone that could use the earth. It was a copper rod that would be stuck into the soil, and you could communicate through the earth's soil. And he was using this in farms. But at the same time, Marconi, the scummy person with the radio and all the other nonsense that they were funding and things, was pushed because that was requiring power. And like you said, these things are being forced onto the people because it goes with the same system. And there's a great book I highly recommend every person read. I mean, it's the most probably life-changing book about technology. It's just The Invisible Rainbow, you know, so people can understand that all of this technology, like you were just saying, was given to the people and is causing people health ailments and they don't realize. And even like TVs in the 1950s were shown to emit X-rays. I mean, people are being X-rayed, like when they go through that little airport TSA scanner, they were getting X-rayed the entire time. So there's another thing. If you think of like a child sitting in front of a television for 8 hours a day or whatever it may be, just being blasted with these X-rays, it's like, imagine what that's doing to the mind. And then, like you said, it's causing the health problems. So the easiest way is, like I said, stick to wires, unplugging, being in nature. And that's the best way to go. And not supporting these industries. People don't have to do any of this, too. I think people don't realize, too, the power in which they have every single day. Like, you go out and whatever money is in your pocket, if you spend it, you're voting with your money. And if more people voted and said, I'm not doing this, well, guess what? The technology would go away instantly because they'd be like, uh-oh, you know, nobody's buying it. But if we keep bringing in these goofy Alexas and whatever Ring doorbells and whatever else into your place, then we just prolong this or make it continue. And then it just gets worse and worse. And then one day you're locked out of your house because you can't figure out that your lights were watching you the entire time.
Oh, it's crazy. I remember when the first, I think it's called Kinects, the little device that went on an Xbox that looked at the room and the players.
Oh, yes.
The moment that happened, I remember just everything stopped. My young nephews were mad. I said, nope, this stuff's all got to go now. And they were upset. And I would let them, when they came over, play a couple games. But it was very limited because that's when it all went home. And I'm going to say a thing here. And I'm going to ask both of you if it's a bridge too far for either one of you, which is fine if it is. I mean, we're all individuals. But for me, knowing what I know, what I saw when I was making the very first banner ads, what we had to do to force the implementation, how it was completely not useful, how the selling and making of money through everything that had ever been out the window till advertisement. And by the way, marketing is just lying. So we have almost an entire economy that's been built on lies, which is what I view marketing as. Marketing is to get you to do something you wouldn't have done otherwise by any means possible, usually by fooling you or skewing the way you think about things. When the internet came, that became basically the main money maker. But this is what I'm going to say, and I'll ask both of you. There's always been spiritual warfare in our realm. There are powers that be that are making themselves well known right now, dark forces that knew damn well when we were going to go from radio to TV, what the power of that was going to be. They knew damn well when the digital world came and they were just biding their time, couldn't wait to get that digital world in, to separate us from nature, to do unnatural things, to normalize us to unnatural things, to destroy the way we used to live and think and implement the new way, which is a pale shadow of anything that nature provides. And they did everything they could to force its implementation. And that is the foundation that the dark side of the force stands on now. How do you guys feel? Is that a bridge too far for you or what?
No, I mean, I feel 100%. I mean, these people are wolves in sheep's clothing. You know, when you get into the technology, obviously it's beautiful that I can sit here and talk to you from the other side of the country, but there has been technology before that to do that. And there could be safe technology too.
Right.
You could use safe technology, but that always gets removed. But yes, when you look at all of this stuff, like even with the censorship and all of this, it's all to make people go bananas. I mean, even myself, I've been censored a billion times. It's like mental MK Ultra against the people. But yes, these people are fully aware of things, you know, and even like the whole thing with Elon Musk and he bought Twitter and the freedom of speech. It's like he's got cars that are literally blowing up. He wants to put a Neuralink in people's heads and he's all about collecting as much data on people for the Neuralink chips, you know, so they're always one step in advance. And I think people need to be aware of these things because it comes with this is what it's going to be and whatever else, but they're not on our sides. The people are for the people. And the more the people realize we, the people, are for the people, the better. Because I've started to realize that all these different technocrats, like even Zuckerberg, I was talking about copper pipes and drinking from copper, and Facebook was censoring me. But it's funny because Mark Zuckerberg has copper pipes in his house. So it's like you two-faced reptile that you are. But, you know, when you get into all of these things and you see these people, yes, I see it that way. And I love that we can connect. I love the ability that we can access information and share one another's opinions and those things. But also, we have to also ask, well, what does that come with? And that's currently why I'm writing a book, because I want people to connect back to books and reading and go back into experimenting and being with nature rather than connecting and getting to a point where we're in some weird plug-in situation. That's just, yeah, George Orwell, 1984.
Exactly. It blows my mind that people think somehow we lucked out with the election and now things are going to be better. Take a different look. You're about to find out why Elon could basically wear Trump's last name or Donald could wear Musk's last name. This is the dream team to implement the Fugazi digital world that is required for the total control and policing of humanity and burying of rights that they want to go for. That's why. And they made the other side look so insane to force it And there was, oh, this man survived an attempt on his leg. Did everything to cue that up. And up to the night of the election, the news was telling you, it's close. We just can't see who's going to win. Oh, my God, it's neck and neck. And then the next morning, oh, it was a landslide. We were wrong. Sorry, folks. They got AI. They could have told you in a real world a month ago to a 98% certainty what the so-called polling and voting outcome was going to be, because that's what AI does. And what we have in place now is going to fast track the foundation that I learned about when I had to destroy video and waste the majority of my life implementing a thing that was basically not useful, so that the new market of selling marketing as the main way of taking money could destroy all the other markets that were in its way. But Jason, we're getting close. Do you want to add anything in here before we start wrapping up hour one?
Let's be real about why someone like Elon Musk would buy Twitter. He is behind a lot of stuff with AI technology, and by buying Twitter, sure, he changed the name to X, whatever, he now no longer has to license data from anybody. You are willingly giving data, real-time human data, for millions and millions of people to feed to an AI every minute of every day.
Perfect.
That's what he's training his advanced AI systems with, and you give it to him for free because you like your Twitter account, don't you?
Perfect. There was a joke made on some popular show where someone said, I'm going to quit my Twitter account. And the retort, the joke was delivered, nobody quits Twitter, which was based on data. And that is actually not just a view people had, but compared to so many social medias, that was true. But what Jason basically just stated, coming out of my mouth bluntly, is that AI requires data to learn. So they are going to rape the entirety of human thought, creativity, art, and everything else that goes with it, all the way back through time, for everything that has ever been recorded or written down that AI can get its hands on. In other words, the intellectual property of humanity is being raped by AI right now, so it can then be implemented to enslave the entirety of humanity. I'll tell you what, Matt, we're gonna take a short break here. We're gonna wrap up hour one. Why don't you tell folks where they can find your products? And everyone should remember, you get 10% off if you use the sponsored links from the sponsored page. And if we put products there, it's because we know their quality. Go ahead, Matt.
So you can find us on cultivateelevate.com. We have a wide array of different superfoods that help address different healing modalities, such as the meridian lines of the body. So we have pearl powder, dragon's blood, shilajit, six mix, lion's mane, tremella, all these beautiful things to help heal the body. But you can find it all on cultivateelevate.com. And then we have a whole list of studies on there, reviews, everything. So if you're searching or you need any help too, you can always just send us an email and we'll gladly help you out.
All right, there it is. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with hour two. This has been hour one of episode 612. Hour one is free to everybody at crow777radio.com. That is crrow777radio.com. Members know to log in for the full episode. Members get access to all the forums, comments sections, and they can create top-level ideas and threads. As members, they can also stream the two-hour film called Shoot the Moon anytime they like. That film has 10 awards in the world, covers all my old telescope work to include all the weird UFO-like things before the skies were filled with drones, all the lunar waves that I filmed, and maybe more importantly, the so-called second sun was added in at the end of that, which was my first discovery of what I think is going to be a massive deal in the years to come. With that, we're going to take a short break. I hope to see everyone logged in as a member for hour two, and I'd like to wish you all a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era. And I almost forgot, members get exclusive access to my solar work. There are solar videos and all kinds of stuff to do with my investigation into the sun that is exclusive to our membership. So we'll see you shortly for hour two. There it is, man. Cheers.
belief is the enemy of knowing.